All right, John chapter 4, if you found your place, I'd like to ask you to stand just for a moment. We might give our attention to the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I'm going to preach a message today that I'm just going to preach John chapter 4, but I'm going to call it A Life That Is Built by Grace. A Life That Is Built by Grace. John chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God says this. When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they came out of the city and came unto him. Father, I pray you'll help these next few moments, that your perfect will be done. I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I thank you for standing. I don't know if the title really has anything to do with the message, but the thoughts that were going through my mind as I looked at the passage, as praying, you know, one of the the blessing that I felt like in the time that I had away with the Lord was to really feel like to be free from, to no longer try to build the church that he's supposed to be building. Because the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. And every work that truly lasts is done by God. And because if a man does it, it doesn't last anyway. And so in praying, you know, and thinking about, you know, the greatest thing that ever happens to anybody's life is grace. And it's when Samaria experienced the grace of God. And as we think about working in your life and God using us to reach out to other people, I think we'll see some things in this passage that we, as we see this life that was built by grace, I pray you'll see some similarities in your own life. And I pray you'll see some potential in the life of others that what grace did for her and what grace is doing in you, and maybe if what grace can do in you, then you'll believe that, wow, grace really makes all the difference, isn't it? And if you're taking notes, either mentally or physically, first thing I want you to notice is, number one, a life that is built by grace begins with a common foundation. A life that is built by grace begins with a common foundation. In verse number four, we see a statement by the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God. It says he must needs go through Samaria. You know, I preach a message more, I think several times throughout the years, about what I call the must factor. Many times in Jesus' life, he said, I must do this. You know, I must do that. There was something about Jesus that when it came to the Father's will, that I must. You know, in your life, if you're born again today, it was because of the common foundation that the Father looked upon the world in sin, and he said that something must be done. I must. Because, you know, God is love. You know, and the common foundation is the love of God. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. You know, if a person that really loves, a loving person can't help but love. I mean, it's not a switch they can turn off. And our Father, being love itself, you know, when he looked upon the world in sin, he didn't say, oh, man, those people, what in the world am I going to do with them? No, he sent his son. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that he gave his only begotten son. You know, and that's what love really does. You know, love, when a child comes in after he scraped his knee, now the mother expresses love. So come here, honey. And the dad says, well, is it cut off? It's just a little blood. What's the big deal? A mother can't but help to express that love. And fathers express it differently. We're in our mind, we're thinking we're preparing them for something. You know, they cry every little thing. We want them to be strong. But God gives us a wife to give us that balance, because sometimes that toughness is not called for. Sometimes that expression, that comfort is needed. And God puts the two together to balance each other out. But, you know, the Heavenly Father, for every single person, you know, the Bible says, you know, about every single one of us, that there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. You know, if you're born again today, the reason you experience the grace of God, because God came looking for you. And as he came looking for you, then you begin to recognize some things. You begin to see some things. It wasn't like we didn't get wise on our own. And see, if we understand the common foundation there again, it goes back to grace. It keeps us from exalting ourselves, you know, because I don't know about you, and maybe I'm the only one that's ever thought this, but there have been a few times in my life I thought, why don't they just smarten up and get it? I mean, I got it. I figured it out. That was before I really understood what grace really meant. And so I really understood that it's by the grace of God he pursued me. And everything, there's a common foundation we see through the grace of God. And this woman here, in her situation, God in the flesh charts his course because he must express love. And he goes to her and finds her. And it's an amazing thing, you know, because the disciples, and what in the world is going on here? Now, hold your place in John and turn to the Song of Solomon just for a brief moment, right after the book of Proverbs. Song of Solomon. So Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. And the reason I'm mentioning it because the love factor that every single person, every life that is built by grace begins with the love of God. In Song of Solomon, chapter 8, in verse number 7, The Word of God says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be condemned. You know, I was thinking, I was, as I looked at this verse, I thought about the past just 2 months of my life. I thought about time to be away with my wife and the love we got to share, time to be with my two of my children, the love me and Mike could share playing tennis and spending time together, and Morgan going walking through trails and looking at horses and coming back, being able to go to a golf, I don't know, outing with my son, and then go to the driving range with my two older boys, and something like taking my daughter home on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights and picking one daughter up at the airport, you know. And I was thinking about, the Bible says that though a man will give all the substance of his house, I thought about if there was a billionaire and wanted to give me all of his house, I would not accept it for just the past 2 months that I've been able to spend with my wife, with my children. And we've had many greater times than that. But I thought about just for those 2 months, I said, no, I wouldn't do it. And because, and the Bible says here, if a man would give all the substance of his house, it'd be utterly condemned. Because what is that worth compared to love that is shared between individuals? And God, see, in his ultimate love for you and me, because God commended, that means he proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So every life that is built by grace has a common foundation, and it is the love of God. Number two, you can go back to John chapter 4. A life that is built by grace must understand the reality of their condition. A life that is built by grace must understand the reality of their condition. Now, this woman, she has a pretty good conversation with Jesus Christ. She's trying to draw water, and Jesus really gets her interest started about it. He says, if you knew it's the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, it's I could give you water, you never thirst again. Reality number one is that each of us have a thirst that no earthly effort can satisfy. Each of us has a thirst that no earthly effort can satisfy. And that's what he said to the woman at the well. He said, you can keep laboring. You're right here at the water. You can bring it up. But I've got water. You'll never thirst again. And you think about how true that is. You got people all under the sun that have had every... I saw something online a few weeks ago, probably a few months ago, some time ago. You know, when I say it was some short time ago, it could have been 5 years. You never know. but it was this year. I know that for a fact. And it talked about 25 most famous millionaire athletes that were bankrupt. And I was just thinking about how they had all this money and everything, but they just pursued interests or tried to satisfy themselves. They gave all that labor to purchase satisfaction, and there was no earthly effort. There's nothing could do it. And all of us are the same. We tried different things for a while, and it's amazing how it has to be more, it can. And it's just a fact of the way it is. But we must come to that reality before we can have our life built by grace. If not, we just keep trying and trying and trying. Well, if I just get this, if I just do that, if I just experience this, if I wasn't in this set of circumstances, if you could change this set of circumstances, then I could really be fulfilled. I could really be satisfied. No, your life needs to be built by grace. You know, there's many tired people, religious people, and there's many tired unreligious people all working with earthly effort trying to bring satisfaction that only can be brought to you by the grace of God. Second thing under reality of your condition, you must understand that your sin is undeniable and it cannot be hid. Notice, you know, Jesus says, she finally, after talking with Jesus here in verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Look, she said, Jesus, I want what you're talking about. And neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. You know, all of us, our sin is undeniable. But, you know, you have to understand that for your life to be built by grace. Your life, for where sin abounds, true, fact, but what where sin abounded, much more did grace abound. Grace is always more powerful than sin. But we have to understand the reality of our sin and that it cannot be hid so we can have our life to be built by the grace of God. Again, one of the greatest joys of salvation is justification. We're justified by God, by the merits of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, though our sin is undeniable, His grace is completely sustainable. I mean, we're kept by the power of God under the day of redemption. Our salvation is sealed in that. And when we rest in what His blood has done, we don't spend our entire life looking over our shoulder at our condition. You know, what so many people do is, you know why many believers don't do more for God than they do? Because they won't look at Christ. They keep looking at their own sin or what they feel like their own inability to walk with God is. Because, again, if not understanding justification, that is a settled relationship by the power of God through Jesus Christ. And so that's you don't have to work on that anymore. You're completely justified. Everything you do now, God, since He justifies you, He sealed you as one of His children. He knows what He's asking you to do, and if you just look at Him and listen to His voice, then you'll be able to allow grace, which is not something you did for yourself. Remember, it was love that called you in the first place. God proved it when we were yet sinners. And now, as we understand our situation, that there's nothing we can satisfy ourselves, and that it's undeniable my sin, but yet God still says, I'm His child by the merits of His Son when we're born again. Number three, you must understand in reality of your condition that your worship apart from God is unacceptable. Because in verse 20, she begins to talk about the worship of her fathers and what took place in Jerusalem. And now Jesus begins to speak in verse 21. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And then but the hour cometh, and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, my best idea of worshiping God will accomplish zero if it's not done in the spirit. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And any earthly means, even as intellectual and as good it may sound, if it's not done by the Spirit, it is a worship of God that's unacceptable. But when we recognize that, then we're able to be led by the Spirit. And guess what? Then the grace of God builds our life. Here's this woman here. Jesus goes out of His way to meet her because God loves the world. Here it is. Jesus knew her sin. He wasn't moved by it. He talked to her. And He wasn't, and He still was trying to get closer to her, to get for her to become one of God's children. And once she finally recognized her sin was undeniable, couldn't be hid, then she was able to experience the grace of God, and God began to build and work in her life. Number three, a life that is built by grace is a life that marvels the most faithful disciples. A life that is built by grace is a life that marvels the most faithful disciples. And there's some, I've known this, verse 27, I'll just say it, I don't have to say that. And upon this, now Jesus had this entire conversation with this woman of Samaria. And we read that the Jews don't have any dealing with the Samaritans. And now here it is, the disciples come to Jesus and they marvel that He talked with a woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? You know the life that really amazes people? It's a life that's built by grace. Because the Bible says they marveled that He talked with. They marveled that here is this Samaritan that Jews don't deal with. And guess what? This Samaritan is doing something that many people don't know anything about. This Samaritan is in the presence of God. And this Samaritan is actually talking with God.
And they're marveling at that. And that's what happens to a life that's built by grace. And I was thinking about how true this is. Okay, Abraham, he believed God, and it was counted for righteousness. He experienced the grace of God. Abraham, he becomes the father of many nations. Here he is. We mentioned a little bit last week. Here he is going out. He was faithful. God told him to go out, and he left and went just that way. That's pretty much what God told him to do. Get thee out of your country and go to the land that I'm telling you to. Leave your kindred. And Abraham just gets up and goes. But then when he first faces confrontation, he lies about his wife. Says that his sister on more than one occasion. But yet and still, grace rests upon the life of Abraham. And we marvel at the fact that Abraham is the father of many nations. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, why did Noah? You hear a man and his eight children, and they just, and God called him to build this ark, and he believes God, and nobody else does. For 120 years, you would think somebody would say, now this is good, now don't catch this. You would think that somebody should say, this is something we've taught in our churches, that he's so committed that surely somebody will see that commitment and it'll catch on. A lot of times we try to reform people when it comes to church. You know, instead of everybody must experience the grace of God. Jesus said, ye must be born again. You know, Christianity is not meant to be habit forming. Because habit forming worship is not worship that glorifies the Father. It must be done in spirit and in truth. And okay, Noah, David. Now, when he starts out, hey, praise God for David. He killed a lion and a bear. I like the sound of that, you know. especially, you know, a lion is like an oversized cat, you know, and some of you know how I feel about cats, you know. So that's good stuff to me, you know. But he killed a lion and a bear. The whole army, he's got all these towering soldiers. They got strength. They got power, they got might, they got size, and there's one giant, and in a group of them won't go out and take on one giant, and this little ruddy kid has power and faith in God, and not just faith in God, there's something about him that so loves the name of God, and there's something about him that is so values that God would be honored, he just can't take it. That this giant is defying the armies of the living God, and he goes up by faith and he defeats the giant. And then later, what does he do? He gets away from warfare, commits adultery with Bathsheba, and we marvel that God still continued and used him in the way that he did. But why do we marvel? Because his life was built by grace. You know, I think about David, and to me, I don't understand. Okay, David did what he did, and Ananias and Sapphira, they lied about their offering, and boom, they're gone. But what's the difference? Well, grace. I was thinking this week, some of you know I helped a refugee family and helped them get placed in a home, and I was thinking this week, okay, here they are. They left their... Like I said, I just can't conceive of my life being so bad that I would just get on a plane with two young children and go anywhere, you know, and hope that it worked out all right. You know why I can't conceive that? Because of grace. I didn't choose to be born where I was born. Why was I born in a country where there weren't those conditions? It's just grace. And, you know, when we understand that our lives are built by grace, you know, every person in this room, you are from a certain set of circumstances so that your life can manifest the grace of God. But what we often do, because of the way we have earthly values, we value somebody else's situation better than our own situation, instead of recognizing that there are other people that, see, life is really not meant to be fair. Life is meant to be full of grace. This is why many people struggle with faith, because they're really looking to do something for God, to get God to do something for them, instead of realizing that life is built upon their salvation, which is by grace. And so your life is meant to be built upon more grace. I'm not meant to everybody look at me to see how powerful and mighty I am. I'm meant to live by the Word of God, being led by the Holy Spirit of God, and the grace of God do with my life what nobody else can do. And the grace of God do with my life what I could not do for myself. And guess what? When that happens, just like the woman of Samaria, the most faithful people say, wow, what happened? How's that work? Now, I've been saved since 1993, and I'm going to tell you something. After being saved several years, I've looked at the lives of some people that God is really blessing us, and how is that happening? Because I've had many preconceived ideas of what it means to bring the favor of God, so to speak, and to bring the blessings down. And I look at their situation, and I'm like, it really seems like I see all the fruits of the Spirit there. I see the joy of the Lord. I see somebody excited talking about Jesus all the time. But they don't fit into that box that I was brought up in. I don't get that. Well, it's grace. And then you look on the other side and you think, here, I was doing A, B, C, and D. And, okay, I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. I'm thinking, man, I wouldn't mind going back and hanging live turkeys right now. And why? Because my life was not being built by grace. I was looking to use my earthly effort to build what God called me to build, even when it pertained to my own life. The Bible says that he giveth more grace. God resists the proud. That means he literally stands against, but giveth grace to the humble. And, you know, our world does not like grace. You know why the world doesn't like grace? Because if my life is built by grace, there's nothing I could ever do to exalt myself above you. Because it's grace. But if it's me that distinguishes myself, but if it's me that separates myself, but if it's me that makes me somebody, that's more comforting to me in the flesh. But you know what it also is? It's more limiting as far as the gospel is concerned. Because if it's me that has made me the Christian that I am, instead of the grace of God, then I look, and I you know, front row people, you know, you get picked upon. I look at Vanessa and I think, man, she's a piece of work. This is going to be hard. I really like to help Vanessa, but man, she's just not getting it. But I heard that message one time and I changed my life. I don't struggle with that. Why is she struggling with that? Because, and why am I not struggling with it? Grace. Grace. But if I think it's me, then I feel that way. But if I think it's grace, then I see, then wait a minute. You know what the grace of God did with me? Everything I couldn't do for me. So you know what the grace of God could do for Vanessa? Everything that Vanessa can't do for Vanessa. And the same thing for everybody. And do you that very precept empowers the gospel. The very reason many times we don't reach out is because we think we're the piece of work. And not like the negative way. We think, hey, I'm the piece of work. And my wife knows me. I was full of it. Some of you think somebody, what did they say? They think they're all of that in a bag of chips. I thought I was a label. I thought I was the ingredients. I thought I was everything. I laugh at it now, but there's this home video, and I'm sitting down with their dog called Holly, and we're all being videoed, and I'm sitting there saying, this is BC before Christ, and I said, I said Holly, how you doing? Look at me, I'm all GQ in my sweater, my big Southern accent in there back when I was more Southern than now, but I'm thinking, how conceited? Because I was the piece of work. And that's why it's so hard to work with people. But see, a life that is built by grace marvels the most faithful disciples. You know why? That's why everybody in this room has great potential. Because if the grace of God is what it is, and it is, what you limit yourself, what you think can never happen in you, the grace of God can do in you. And only the grace of God can do it. You can't work hard enough to get the change happening. It's only the grace of God that leads you by the Spirit of God. And see, I love that. I love that Reiner Harper. He's a little slow sometimes. He's dense. He's arrogant. He's proud. But you know what? I'm going to woo him with the Holy Spirit and tell him that he needs to humble himself in this area. Even though he's been stubborn, you know, time and time and time again, because I have grace for him, I'm going to lead him. But then as I yield to that, guess what? Because pride is the only thing that keeps me in my own way. Because if we humble ourselves, he exalts us. But if God speaks to me, I'd still rather do that my own way than he has to stand against me. Because God, that's why, you know, we have the most accomplished, the most intelligent, the most powerful, the most educated, miserable world the earth has ever seen. Because we have so much work but no grace. And God won't let it go forward because grace is what makes the difference in the lives of people. We mentioned Bathsheba, Jonah. You know the story of Jonah? Jonah preaches the word of God, and a whole entire city repents that he did not even want to get saved. That's the grace of God. I won't go through the whole story, but basically, he said when he finished, Jonah ran from God first, and God prepared a great fish to swallow him up. He swallowed him up, and then later he spits him out. God spits him out of the whale, and here he is ready to go forward. And he finally submits to God, and he goes to Nineveh, and he tells them to repent, and they all repent. And he goes somewhere, he sits under a gourd, and he starts whining. You know, I knew it. I knew it. If I just told people what God said, I knew that they would repent, and you would be gracious, and you would be merciful. Can you imagine that? And God still worked through it. Why? You know we marvel at that? Because a life that is built by grace marvels the most faithful disciples. There's some marvelous things that God wants to do everybody here, but it comes by the grace of God. And God, grace, and he gives more grace. He wants to give you more grace. And the thief on the cross. I was thinking about that. Here's a contrast between the thief on the cross. Now turn to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Just for a moment, we're almost done here. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And go and find Luke 23. Hold your place in Matthew 7 and find Luke 23. We're going to flip between the two. I just want to contrast a person and then the thief on the cross. Luke chapter 23. So find Luke chapter 23 and Matthew chapter number 7. This is good. Luke chapter 7. And Matthew 23, Luke chapter 7 first, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, we taught the truth. We taught the truth in your name. And in thy name have cast out devils. I like to have that person in my neighborhood. Amen. That'd be good. Cast out devil. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And one of the look at verse 39, pardon me. Verse 39. Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. No Romans road, no time to get baptized, no time to do great works for God, no time to cast out devils, no time to prophesy the name of Jesus, but he's with Jesus in paradise. Why? Grace. Grace. His life was built by grace. The other person built their life by works. And the person that built their life by works, that gets it by works, meant nothing. All the righteousness is filthy rags. But the life built by grace, Lord, just remember me. Just remember me. And you know what the grace of God says? Yeah, that's enough. That's grace. That's how good it is. Amen. That's all. John chapter 4. Last of all, I have to go to John instead of Matthew if I want to. A life that is built by grace is a life that has fruit that is undeniable. A life that is built by grace is a life that has fruit that is undeniable. Now, John chapter 4, we'll look down at verse number 28. Jesus finishes his conversation with the woman, and she finally, I love when Jesus just tells us who he is. You know? In verse 26, Jesus saying to her, I that speak unto thee am he. Can you imagine? This is the Messiah. I thought this was just some Jew wanted water, but this is the Messiah. And they found that here's a life that is renewed, that is built by grace. Number one, she rejoices that God knows her. Notice what she says in verse 29. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. She's rejoicing that God knows me. She said, come see a man that knows me. That's the life built by grace. Because he knows me. And if you're born again, if you know that he knows me and he still saved me. And he still loves me. And then, the fruit of the undeniable, she forsook all to bring others to Christ. She left a water pot, a life that's built by grace. By grace, forsakes everything to bring others to Christ. The woman left the water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men. A life that's built by grace, also fruit, she rejoiced in knowing who Christ was. Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She's just rejoicing. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. Know what she's saying? This is the Savior we've been looking for. This is the answer to the sin of the world. This is the one that shall save my people from their sins. This is the Messiah. Why can she say that with such boldness and confidence? Her life was built by grace. And last of all, others came to Christ because of her. Because when she goes out into the city, notice what it says in verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. He went out to come see a man. He knows me. Can you imagine, okay, this woman's had five husbands. You know, this is kind of a reproachful situation. And she goes into the city. Hey, come see this man. He knows me. He told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You know? You know what I see in that? Also, you know what I see that grace does? It gives you a perfect security in who you are. She had five husbands, and she's not looking at her past. She's not even looking at her present. Based on the fact that the knowledge of Christ, she's not struggling. She don't have to prove anything to anybody. She's not wondering if she confessed enough. She's not wondering if she said sorry enough. She's not even figuring out if she took her sin seriously enough. Her life is built by grace. And she said, you know what? Come see this man. Because, you know what? When your life is built by grace, it's not about her. She said, come see the man. And you think about that. Think of how in our sometimes our, what I would call, in our zeal to be good testimonies, we often don't witness because, well, I'm just not a good example of Christ right now. Anybody here perfect? My hand's not up because I am. I mean, if my hand's up because I'm perfect, you already know I'm not because I'm lying, right? So you know how to pray for me. So if you're not perfect, anybody here not perfect and saved, though? Anybody here not perfect and saved and happy about it?
Amen.
Okay. A hair better. You know, this woman didn't become a perfect testimony just because she met Jesus. But because she met Jesus and the grace of God was over her life, she couldn't help but say, come see a man. You know, and think of how much more we would evangelize if we really looked at Christ more than we looked in the mirror. You know, I don't preach Bible truth because I've mastered it all. I preach Bible truth because of the grace of God. And we can encourage one another. We can lift up one another. And we can go out into this world and say, come see this man. He knows me. Because you know what the heartbreak was? You know what the heartbreak was? We read in Matthew. He said, I didn't know you. He said, I never knew you. But this woman had been with Christ because he knows me. You've got to know the one that knows me. And it just so happens he's the Savior. You know, if you could just understand, if you profess salvation today, it was no accident. It was, you're saved because of the love of God that came after you. It pursued you. I love that song, when I could not go to where he was, he came to me. And I could even say, when I did not want to go to where he was, he came to me. But you know what? For God to do that work of grace, you got to understand that there's no earthly effort you can do that can satisfy you. And can I tell you something? That's lost or saved. That's lost or saved. There's a lot of miserable people in church still trying to do enough for God to get peace and joy and happiness. It comes by the grace of God. That's good. He just loves me, you know that? Your sins are undeniable. There's the thief on the cross. Lord, just Lord, remember, we're here because we do justly. And see, you know what I said here, that a life built by grace marvels the most faithful disciples. Now, he didn't. Now, the Bible says repent and believe in the Lord, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. But he didn't say the word repent. He didn't even tell the Lord he was sorry for his sins. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, because the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord. But what I'm trying to say is grace. I don't understand it. You know what I'm saying? A life that's built by grace marvels people. The reason why my life is so explainable to many people is oftentimes my life is governed by, I was trained in a good church. To some, I can speak eloquently, depending on which day of the week it is. To some, I handle myself properly. But what really brings a marvel is when the grace of God works to me and the people that really know me and say, wow, man, he's using that brother anyway. That's what the grace of God does. And you know, and when I'm walking that grace, I can go in any situation. And you know, and I can have power and authority. You know why? Because it's not about me. You know why I came back? Because it's not about me. The reason I'm enjoying preaching, because it's not about me. You know, I enjoy reading my Bible this morning, praying and just serving and doing things around the house I was doing today, because it's not about me. It's grace. Reiner Harper is pretty self-centered. But the grace of God takes me into a realm that's just not me. And praise God for that. That's what it does. And God will, and you know, and guess what? God is with me. he's just starting to build. Because I spent a lot of years trying to do it myself. And you know what? You know what you can build? I found I can build a reputation without the grace of God. I can even build a lot of things without the grace of God. But oh my soul, that fruit's missing. Because think about this. Now, if you're in the room right now, you're struggling with guilt over just anything. You're missing the grace of God. Because here's this woman in the presence of God in the flesh. Horrible reputation, 5 husbands. But with boldness and authority, a Samaritan. No doubt going into the presence, I believe, in the Jews and say, hey, or other Samaritans say, look, hey, come see this man. Guilt gone? Because the man who is the Savior knew her. It's amazing. And it kind of sounds like to me that if God knows you and God knows you and knows about you, it supersedes what anybody else could know about you and know you. And again, we see it in the life of David, Bathsheba, all these other, Rahab, the harlots. The harlots in the hall of faith. Why? The grace of God. Woo! Am I getting this? I just run out here on the grace cloud. For by grace are you saved through faith. It'd be good to just stop and thank God for His grace. If you're not born again right now, can I tell you some good news? You heard this message because of the grace of God. You simply have to believe, and God will extend His grace to you. But you won't believe if you don't see that your sin is undeniable and that you need a Savior. There's no need to believe on Christ if your sin is not a big deal. There's no need to change your mind about the need of a Savior and turn to Him if you just think your life's going to work out on your own. So repentance is very simple. You just change, you turn. You won't turn, just like if you're not really thirsty, you won't drink a glass of water. You can see a glass of water on the table if you're not thirsty. Let me put it like this. You could be heading this direction and you see a glass of water on the table. If you're not thirsty, you're not going to turn. You'll get it because you don't need it. And until you see your sin as that which is the source of all your trouble, the source of your lack of being known by God, because that's what brought the woman of grace known. God knows me. God knows me. And think about it. You know, He knows you and He loves you. He knows me and He loves me. But when you see your need, then you think, wow. And now catch this now, how graceful it is. It's not what you do, it's just what you believe in. Because, you're thinking, but I could never live that way. Of course you can't. It wouldn't be grace. But when you turn to Him and experience His grace places in you an ability that's not within you right now and helps you live that way. And even as you try to live that way, sometimes you stumble because a just man falleth. You still can rise up again because of the grace of God. But if you really start walking in grace, your fruit will be undeniable. God's not looking for perfect examples, but He's looking for faithful examples. And faith is just in His grace. You know, I know faith without works is dead, but you can't have the faith to do the works if you don't believe in the grace of God. Because if you believe it rests upon you and empowered by you, that you're going to be tired all your Christian life. Because you'll always think, what more can I do? To just give God's favor and make the preacher happy. You'll always be seeing, what are they thinking about me? Don't matter, He knows me. What do they think of my service to God? What do they think of my walk with God?
What if I don't want to come to the prayer meeting? Well, don't come. It doesn't matter. No matter what I think. I mean, and I'm sincere about that, because God will grow you in grace in His time. And everything we do is by the grace of God. And because God really wants you to love Him on by choice. And the more you understand the grace of God, and you think about it, a guy like that, why would you not want to talk to him? And I don't mean necessarily the scheduled time, but just any time. Wait a minute. God saved me, keeps me saved. He eternally makes me His child, seals me in His Father's hand. No man can pluck me out of my Father's hand. Keeps me by the power of God until the day of redemption. And He knows me that I'm still not going to be faithful at times. Now that doesn't sound a little hard, but that's grace. That's grace. Does that mean I'm saying go out and live like the devil? Absolutely not. The Bible doesn't teach that. But the grace of God is not trying to live right so the Father will love them. The grace of God is trying to live right because, man, He loves me. And I just want to love Him. Because, you know, true love, and see, that's what great true love is, when you love no matter what. And you, if you study the Bible, you see all the examples of people that experience the grace of God. And God loved them in their weakness. He loved them in their strength. Many waters cannot quench love, because love is built upon grace. The reason so many marriages fail and so many relationships break down, because people get married and they don't understand the grace of God. So many friendships fall away because people join that friend expecting that friend to be everything to them, that they are to them, instead of realizing. Now, I have friends so I can love them. And some of them don't, I'm going to tell you, some of them don't love me like I love them, but that's okay. I pursue them. You know why? Because God taught me some grace. Because I found out when I thought I was a spiritual giant, the prize among the fundamentalists, they were glad to have me. God still came after me. And He pursued me. And when I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and condemned everybody because they weren't exactly like me, He said, no, Ryan, you know, that's not the way I love you, don't you? He said, no, Ryan, I really know what you are. I really know what you think. I know how you feel about everything. And you know that I really do love you still. You know that I know that you know how to put on a good show. You got an extra one? And you know that I know that you know how to say the right thing in the right situation. And you know that I know that you know how to look good here in this crowd. And you know that I know that you know how to look good in this crowd. And you know that I know when you are just not being real. And Brian, you know that I really still love you still. That's the grace of God. That's what real salvation is. Because when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He makes you His child, and you're always His child. And He always loves you. And He's trying to get through to His children, first of all, that, man, I really do love you no matter what. And if you really just wrap your brain around that, who would you not want to have that? To be loved by God. Especially if you believe who God is. He's the Lord. There's nobody like Him, amen? He can do everything, amen? Hey, come see a man! Father, I love you so much. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for loving these people through this message today. Some are my precious brothers and sisters in Christ. And some are people that you want to be my brothers and sisters in Christ.
But you're loving everybody the same because you're no respecter of persons. I thank you for pouring out grace into this assembly today. God, I pray that someone be freed from a life of trying to be something when they already are something because of grace. There are some people in this room that can witness and really testify with Jesus Christ, but they keep thinking about their example, what they've done, and they just need to stop and go rejoice and say, come see this man. He knows who I am and he loves me still. You need to know this Savior that I have. And Father, there's some that just think it's all about, man, we're just sitting here, wow, what next? Have to do this. And Lord, you love them. Help them to see your great love. And I think of many times I was in church and just by obligation, and you love me still. I think at times, especially a young person sitting in church waiting to get out so I could go watch football. And Lord, that didn't faze you one bit because you loved me. There was no condemning thought in you. You just wanted me to know you. You said, because you knew me. And you can think, and Lord, you know times, even as a preacher, I thought, I'm ready to be done, so I go do something else in my carnality. And you said, that's my child. Rhonda, come here. Father, thank you for showing me a love that I just marvel at. God, would you encourage the people that are saved today, born again, that have experienced your grace? Would you help them to really stop for a moment to realize that they're saved by grace and they're loved by grace and your love is unquenchable? And Father, would you help that thought to allow them to have a perfect security in the fact that they are your child, to where they can just willingly, boldly just represent you in whatever way pleases you? And would you draw some lost sinner unto yourself? And Father, I pray somehow by the grace of God, they would understand the gospel and just turn and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. Realize there's no earthly effort they can do that can bring them unto yourself. For the tired Christians here that have been doing all the right things for a duty and not for grace, restore to them the joy of their salvation this hour. Give them a hope and a vision and a power that can only be found in thee. Lord, I praise your holy name for keeping me alive long enough to believe what I'm preaching right now. I rejoice. I thank you, Father. And, oh, Lord, thank you. Lord, your will be done.